You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Sports Radio Network.
All right, here he is, Bradfo Show. Bob Bradford makes his glorious return to the WEEI studios for the first time since the coronavirus outbreak. How's it feel?
I felt like, as a society, we needed something like this. We needed a step forward. Like, I want to send a message to the population that not everything is going in the wrong direction.
Right.
We are taking steps forward, and this is, I think, an enormous step forward. Me in my my astronaut suit walking in here. I don't know. I honestly didn't know. You can see I have a face mask.
An official one. Very impressive.
Hand wipes. I don't know what the protocol is here.
Got a quarantine beard. And, you know, first of all, I think on behalf of the greater metropolitan area of Boston, New England, and WEEI Nation, thank you for your service.
Well, yeah, we appreciate it. Anything to keep the ball rolling.
But you're now screwed, you and your whole family, because now you're 6 feet within Fitzy and myself, about 6 feet. For 2 minutes or more, that means you're exposed to everything Greg Hill has been exposed to, which is everything in the six-state region.
And by the way, Rob, does this count as a page view?
Yes.
And by the way, Greg Hill, Greg and his buddies border hopping, heading up to New Hampshire.
I think they're going to Rhode Island. Well,
they've been up to New Hampshire. Yep. And, of course, a lot of people that would listen to Greg in the morning would decide that they want to go up there for a Tuscan kitchen supper or something else. Hey, guess what state is shutting down till June 15th now? Because so many mass holes have crossed the border and brought their corona with them.
But the
They're shutting down
New Hampshire
to Massachusetts travel? Are you kidding?
No, my wife's best friend lives just outside Manchester. No, not Manchester, excuse me, Portsmouth. And she said that she's heard word that they're going to have a stay at home order for the next couple of weeks because there's been so much
Are you
serious?
Because of Greg Hill.
I think we need to talk about this on Monday.
We're going to talk about that.
I think the Hill mandate has now caused trouble, and now poor New Hampshire people can't go eat in their own damn state.
Well, the good news is I'll make a blog entry out of it. It will be picked up by the Drudge Report. Greg Hill goes to shuts down New Hampshire. That's how it works.
He did just post on Instagram, border crossing underway. He said it looks north to me, so maybe he's going back to Maine. I don't know.
Does he have the radio on? Greg, turn around. What you did.
He's got Counting Crows on, so that shows you his commitment to you and I.
Yep. Great.
Now,
company man.
Commitment to playing baseball. Owners v. players. Our poll at the Greg Hill Show account this week, which side are you on, players or owners? 50-50 split.
Really?
Dead down the
Not
middle.
Not the apathy versus anger poll that we put out?
Well, if there would have been an option, who cares? Yes.
That was my question.
I think that's the better question right now. I don't think there's any question about it.
But I don't want to be so down on baseball. If it comes back, if they get it together, I will watch, you will watch, Fitzy will watch. Mm-hmm. It's not like we don't have baseball up against NBA, NHL playoffs. So even if it's July, even if it's August, it's baseball, it's every day, people are going to tune back in. So they still have a chance to save themselves. But will they? What's the latest?
Well, the latest is there is no latest. The fact is that the time is ticking. I said it at the beginning of last week. I think I wrote it on Monday, Memorial Day, sitting around the Ken Laird Memorial Fire Pit, this is one of the most important weeks in the history of baseball. And then Passan came out a few hours later, coincidentally enough, or not, and said, this is one of the most important times in the last 25 years, which is, it's one and the same. This is 2 weeks in baseball. Because when this happened, guys, when this happened in 1981 or 1994 or whenever, or even 10 years ago, baseball could go away for a year, and then you would come back and everyone would be like, baseball, baseball, baseball. This isn't the same. This is not the same. There are too many other things going on. And the perception is more powerful than ever, where every single day people are defining whether they like baseball, whether they're going to accept baseball, whether they're going to sure, they'll watch, but will they care, Ken? I mean, that is the biggest thing. Well, yeah, it's background noise, it's background viewing, but will they care like they did before? Because this is more damaging.
You're talking about this year or next year if they come back?
Either way. I mean,
I think it's a big difference.
Well,
if they skip this season,
I think that if you come back, if you are going to come back this year, it speaks to what I'm talking about, which is this week, this past week, this coming week. These are very, very important times.
Yeah.
And, you know, so now it's going to be a week that since I proclaimed this, and it did not trend in the right direction. Maybe they have another week, but we can agree that if you don't get baseball going by the time NFL training camp starts,
bye.
Holy crap.
But does the country really need, I mean, I hate to say it, but like, bad joke intended, does the country really need any more white noise like a bunch of privileged players and a bunch of privileged owners pissing and moaning at each other about revenue share and who's giving up, what concessions each is going to make to go play baseball in a pretty much sanitized, clean, contained environment for a half of a season?
No, but Fissy, like, I said this, it's exhausting.
Like, it is.
It basically, I don't want to, I understand why, you know, people have to report on this stuff and, it, you know, the minutiae that goes in with it. But when I see one of these stories about the back and forth, I'm exhausted. I think most people are exhausted. And you know what? You guys are website guys. I can tell you the viewership is exhausted by it as well. And that people do not want to be exhausted by anything these days. They don't. They want to hear good news. They want to hear the NBA moving forward. They want to hear the NHL moving forward. They want to hear about Cam Newton potentially going to the Patriots. They want to hear about that sort of thing. They don't want to hear these millionaires versus billionaires on the side of the road arguing.
But devil's advocate, if they get back on the field, even if it's August, even if it's against NFL training camp, baseball always goes against NFL training camp. Baseball playoffs and the World Series go against meaningful football. So that shouldn't, as long as they get it done, that shouldn't matter.
You always went against it with the running start that was a season.
Yeah, but
what? I mean, you're basically, so let's go to 2013. I remember I stopped by Greg Hill's show and Fitz, you were on, and we were talking about 2013.
Yep.
I remember that year, specifically, that year, it wasn't until the end of August where people really latched onto the Red Sox. And it was like, well, you know, you had to build this up. And then that year, there were the Bruins, there was Aaron Hernandez, there was a lot of stuff going on.
Did you
on.
Need to build it up, or did you just need to get past the first meaningless 82 games and get to the second
okay,
half,
which
well,
they'll
do I
anyway?
Okay, well,
I do think there is a point to be taken, like, that a shortened season is good for baseball.
Shortened Thank season you. Is great.
Right.
How great, speaking of which, in that year, we had the shortened 50-game NHL season, which led to that incredible, six-game Stanley Cup Finals Bruins with the Blackhawks and
yeah.
the Bruins.
Yeah.
And we also had the Boston Strong yep. and the 617 jersey and Johnny Gomes and everything else that season. Sports is a beacon. Sports is hope. I don't know if I've put this in one of the columns. Maybe I have, Bradvo, but I can think back post 9/11. You know, I lived in New York City at the time, and it was awful. And I remember when baseball started, but I was at the Andruzzi game, of course, which became the Tom Brady game, and the emotion that the emotional outpouring that came with that. But I'll never forget just sitting around, like, unemployed, all my friends worried. The city smelled. It was burning still. And I was sitting around watching a Mets broadcast. And it was Mike Piazza's home run in the first game back that the Mets played following 9/11. And a single home run was the first time anybody in the five boroughs of the biggest city in America felt good again. Just for a second, everybody felt good. It was this bomb that he hit off of the Braves. And I remember just thinking, like, oh, it's okay to feel okay. It's okay to feel good again. Mm. It's okay to actually have a positive emotional response.
Isn't that how you felt, though? Not to say that it's apples to apples, but the golf tournament last Sunday, like, that was the first time I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, this is actually not super contrived, semi-interesting, a horse competition or something. Like, and I'm not saying it's the same thing.
No, the horse competition
but
was,
it is like,
I wanted to throw myself in the Ken Laird fire
have,
pit.
Don't leave out the Bundesliga. Don't leave out the Bundesliga.
Exactly. There you go.
No, but when Brady hit
the KBO. I mean, like,
and the KBO.
Come on.
Greg Hill, what do you have against the KBO? But when Brady hit that shot on 7, I cheered out loud. In the house. It was awesome. It was great.
You
it was like,
did
oh,
not. You've been
I did
assailing
too.
Brady for the
I
night.
I did too.
What a liar.
I was so happy to see Tom Brady not wearing Tampa orange. For a minute, it was my Tommy, Ken. You can't take my Tommy from me.
Look
Ken.
At how fat he got. He's splitting his pants. He's
Actually,
clearly
he
out of shape.
Kind of, he looks kind of ripped.
We'll get to Fitzy's dumbest take of the week in a bit. His hot take, which I don't know if that took off on the website, but his on his personal
it did.
IG, it did.
I mean, it was a great take. It was
the
a great
current
conversation.
Patriots roster is ahead of where they were against the Tennessee.
It's a better roster.
All right, save that. But anyway, back to what you're saying, the importance of baseball returning. And you're discussing, you know, how people felt at 9/11 when it comes back. Yes, we're going to get all that positive momentum again if they come back, even if it's August. And they have to recognize
I think that it goes back to how damaging each one of these days are. And you're right. I mean, this is, Jason Stark said this, you can't get caught up in the play-by-play with this stuff. But this is a little bit different. That is utterly true almost any other time. But every single day we get through this, especially with a timetable that we're talking about, perception is being cemented.
Why can't they shut up? Why can't the players keep their mouths shut? Even this John Heyman, chances for season are close to zero.
Like, this is, here's the thing. Like, I look at yesterday, like, it's a small thing. The David Price thing. It was a great gesture. And by the way, I totally think Shin-Soo Chu should be publicized more because, like, he did the exact same thing.
And David Price is giving $1,000
to all the Dodgers.
196 players total.
Yeah. So I looked at yesterday, and I juxtaposed that great gesture with, I don't know if you guys saw what Dayton Moore said. So we have this day.
He runs the Braves, right?
He used to work for the Braves. He runs the Royals.
Okay.
And so, and so you have this day of this news upon news about pay cuts, about minor leaguers being released and all this. And Dayton Moore comes out and says, listen, we're not laying anybody off. There's no furloughs. We're not doing anything in minor leaguers. We're going to pay the minor leaguers, all of it. You know why? Because these minor leaguers, these guys who are never going to make the major leagues, they are the lifeblood of baseball. They're going to be the high school coaches, the JUCO coaches, the college coaches, the people who are going to continue the passion of baseball. It was so well said. And I'm like, between Dayton Moore and between David Price, those two things, like, owners, players, understand, this is the messages that should be getting out there. Right. This is what you should feel good. If you had more things like this go on and more things, people saying these things, you will feel a whole lot better about the sport instead of worrying about what happened between the owners and the players before and what's going to happen between the players and owners.
Even this pissed me off last night. Drellick from The Athletic tweets out, Red Sox cut pay to employees making $50,000 or more. Quote, people are livid. People are livid. Like, wake up and recognize the rest of the world. Everybody's taking a pay cut.
So this is where I do that. This is why I do. I like Evan personally.
Yeah.
He's doing it. He's been doing it, obviously, a fantastic job. The co-bylines with Ken Rosenthal.
You're so proud.
I mean,
Bradfoe, you swell with pride.
I'm beaming.
I know.
But we know how this works. I could have called up. There's a lot of employees in the Red Sox, and I'm sure a lot of them are upset. Like, we talked about it here.
Mm-hmm.
We did the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did the same thing. And I'm sure that some people were livid too. But it's
oh no, I offered more.
Yes.
Can I double my workload and take a pay cut, please?
Exactly. So so you have where a lot of people are livid, which I'm sure is true. But this is a reality. I mean, this is real.
Who would say that to Evan? Like, what? Who?
Well, I could go down a list of people who would say it to Evan.
Like, that is not helping.
But if you want to look at that situation, the situation that is uncomfortable is the chasm that you have between the people who are making 100 grand and 500 grand. So if you make 101 grand compared to 499 grand, like, you're going to get the same cut. I mean, but this is happening in a lot of companies. This is just how it is. I would say this. It is not a good look for the Red Sox, even though it was only 22 minor leaguers, even though this happens a lot at this time of year or even before where guys are getting cut. You do have other organizations, like I said, the Royals, are saying, we're paying everybody. We're keeping everybody.
Yeah. Back to the baseball owners versus the players. Are the owners secretly plotting to blow it up? Like, they have some covert operation. Are the players justified in being worried about giving owners a salary cap of some default nature where they're gonna crush the
just
union?
Like the same way some people think that the coronavirus is like one giant grand scale conspiracy so as to be able to get contact tracing or, you know, handling the masses in place.
Is this a kerosene can tale?
No, it's a Chris Curtis thing.
It's a lot of people that believe that crowd control and managing the masses of America is why the coronavirus was released upon the entire world. And now, could it be that baseball is going to say, the hell with it, we're going to screw this season so we can bust this the biggest union in sports?
It comes back to, I don't know if that's true, but I do know that there's this whole argument is about distrust from the past and distrust about what's going to go on in the future.
And the CBA is up this offseason, right?
Yeah, yes. And you have any sane people, owners, millionaires, billionaires, anybody would say it's 3 months. It's 3 months. Let's figure it out for 3 months.
Right.
And it's that important to the future of our game. But because of things that you're talking about the owners' perceived leverage for the future or the players worrying about getting screwed over by the owners again in the future, like, this is why this isn't getting done. And honestly, I don't know how they get past that. I don't know how they get past that, because it's basically like, you know, like I said in one of my columns, I said it's like the parent where you have the kid get hopping on the motorcycle going, I'm going to the quarry, and like, I give up. Go. Well, we're never going to come, and I'll never see you again, and we're never going to sit down and hash through this. That's never going
to
happen.
If they don't get it done, then I'm almost rooting for the union to get broken and the owners to fine.
They've tried to break the union before. It never happens.
Well, you would. This is different than anything we've ever seen before. You would acknowledge that, right?
Sure. But it's two different things. It's the here and the now and the CBA and what this is going to be. And this is, you said it before. I heard you guys talking about your excellent show leading into this as I'm driving around seeing what the landscape of this fine city is all about. Like, this is about, the minor leagues is never going to be the same. Baseball is never going to be the same. Now, that's what we know, right?
Yeah.
But
which I don't really get. How do they not understand how important the minor leagues have been to the sport?
Well,
for
Ken,
decades,
even before this, they were trying to get rid of the. But even before this happened, they were already ready to kick these franchises to the curb.
This is why they're losing fans. These are the cities that come out and support you on a grassroots level that build interest in the game.
What's the plan then?
Just money. It's just money.
I mean, it's just money. And this is. It is amazing. It really is amazing. Like, the bottom line business for billionaires. I newsflash, I'm not a billionaire. But I can't fathom when you look at it with so coldly where you say, well, you know what? It's either in the red or the black. And if it's not making us money or it's not good for business, then we aren't going to do it. Like, how can you not? Didn't you get into this in some semblance for liking the thing that you are getting into?
Right.
And that's what minor league baseball is all about. And, like, I'll come back to what Dayton Moore said. That's so true. I mean, this is those minor leaguers who won't have jobs, those minor league teams that won't be able to exist, those kids who won't be able to actually go to a minor league game, which is maybe all that a family can afford or mm-hmm. is the closest thing they have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, that is going to damage baseball more than people can ever know.
Yeah, and let's just think real quick, like, how much fun, like, we're a bunch of baseball hardos in here, but, like, I love going to a double-A game whenever I hit a random new town. I love going there the same way I do, like, a recommended restaurant, or I'll hit up a new brewery. How about cities like, or like second-tier cities like Worcester that are looking forward to and building a large part of their burgeoning economy on the Woo Sox coming today, the Pawtucket Red Sox now becoming the Woo Sox, and like, well, that's scuttled. Maybe we'll just close the stadium before we finish it. Like,
right.
just and think about all the players and the time they need to like come up the pipeline appropriately and hone their craft. Like, you don't just because you can hit a baseball real far or you can throw it real fast doesn't mean you have the subtleties and the talent and know the nuance of the game yet.
Or how about the people, like, I know that Mutt had on Daniel Nava. I was thinking about examples of this. Daniel Nava.
A lot of conversation this week on the greatest, most emotional Red Sox home run in history.
Most emotional?
Based on the Poppy and Manny selfie.
Yep.
And, you know, and yep. Nesson re-aired the 2007 walk-off game for Manny. And a lot of people said Nava's home run back in 2013 was one of their emotional favorites.
Yeah, and which, you know, is fair and it's part of that whole story. And Nava was on with Mutt during one of these rebroadcasts. And I'm thinking, you know, Daniel Nava is a guy they signed for a dollar. Daniel Nava is out of the Independent League. And Daniel Nava is a guy who, you know, had to work his way. Daniel Nava would have been one of these guys who was cut yesterday, right?
Yep.
You would never have had that story. And there's plenty of other examples of this. So it's a lot of this that we're ranting and raving about. It's things that aren't going to change. But at the same time, there are things that don't have to change that we're still haggling over. And it seems so simple. And it's being locked up in simple greed.
Well, there's a great column about this at WEI.com from May 19th. Laird Colon, this feels like the last chance for baseball. I suggest you check it out. Would you say that guy is the top columnist at WEI.com these days?
I think I'm sitting with the two top columns.
Oh, there it is. Look at this guy.
Columns, he aggregates things in the morning mashup.
What are you talking about? I put a spin on it. Yeah, only one of us has won a Pulitzer for our morning mashup.
It's entertainment slash opinion. It's crazy. You guys can do it all. We're so fortunate to have both of you.
Hybrid talents, just like the Patriots roster is full of, and we'll get to that later on the show. That's called a vertical tease, Ken.
Been teasing that for an hour and a half, and not got to it, but we will do that. Bradford, we appreciate it. Stay safe.
Well, I don't get to rant about his thing.
Oh, you want to stick around?
I would like to rant about the roster.
And we'll take some calls on this. We'll bash Fitzy's incredibly dumb take from earlier in the week about the Patriots roster.
The same one that a former NFL GM agreed with yesterday on OMF?
Ooh. Yeah. Let's talk about who this is and whether you would have ever praised them for anything else ever in the history of mankind. But first, we trend.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
What really is trending is this breaking New Hampshire news. Is this accurate? New Hampshire is scaling back? They're taking a step back?
I've heard from a New Hampshire resident that New Hampshire may have to scale back some activities because they have been overrun with Massholia crossing the border to be able to go out to eat and participate in retail and me first activities.
Well, if there
so
was
it's
only
anecdotal, this is not actually factual.
If he's
breaking the story,
he says maybe.
The 2 week extension has already happened. They extended the stay at home order for 2 weeks.
Oh, but they've opened restaurants. So you're saying they're going
to... Yes, but now they're telling people to stay home, but there's a restaurant that's open. Ken, quick question. How do I go to a restaurant if I'm told to stay at home?
I'm confused.
If there was only a governor who was willing to come on a morning show to clarify this.
Yeah, Sununu back Monday, 6 a.m.
See, extended to June 15th, correct, Bridget? See?
So they can't go to the restaurant now if you're in New Hampshire?
It's open.
The dangling carrot
is open for business, but you can't go
there. And they're blaming Massholes. Wow, okay. You heard it here first, according to Fitzy. Governor Baker has given Boston's pro sports teams the okay to return to practice facilities. That starts June 6th. Celtics back then next week in Brighton.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Mm-hmm. And Jaylen Brown.
One-on-none workouts.
Jaylen Brown tweeting that he is walking from CNN to the MLK Memorial tonight at 5:30, speaking of the Celtics.
I like Jaylen Brown.
He is active and involved. MLB owners will vote. Well, it's Tuesday is the big vote, right?
You're the hockey guy.
I don't know. My trending copy says this, but I'm unclear of baseball. What's the next step in baseball, Bradford?
The next step?
Yeah.
The MLB players have to give back their proposal, which
and that's
they did
Tuesday?
Not. They don't know. I mean, they basically said, we're waiting for the financials, and we haven't got them, so we're not going to give a proposal, which is always what everybody wants to hear.
And Ken, as you trend, I have friends from New Hampshire texting in saying, as a New Hampshire resident, I can unequivocally back up the fact that our fair state has been overrun with massholes.
Ooh, and Greg Hill is headed there now. But we'll get to Doug coming up next, too. I want his insight because he's a New Hampshire guy who's talking about this.
Well, so. In fairness, Sununu did say that they could bet on Korean table tennis.
No, it was Russian. Russian and
both.
Oh, it was Russia versus Korea.
Russia.
It's all along.
It wasn't like the Olympics. It wasn't Russia versus Korea. We were Russia and Korea.
Oh, they're playing each other. NBA vote is Thursday. They expect their plan to be approved, and that would be players of 22 teams brought to Disney World in Orlando late July to restart with 8 regular season games each and a play-in tournament for the 8th seed in each conference and then a full playoff slate. That's what's trending now on WEEI.
You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Is this roster better
worse
today?
Worse.
Or worse.
Oh, the roster can't be any worse now than it was back then.
You lost Tom Brady.
Everybody, yeah.
Right.
How great. I hate to say this about, being honest
don't
in your assessment
now.
Brady.
Come on.
Hold on.
He's
how great was Brady
heel.
In the second half
Jesus.
Of the 20-
Oh, my God.
How great
wow.
was he in the second half of the
Are
2019 season?
Are we running on
season?
This one here?
Wait. I've said it a thousand times.
Wait a second. So, Fitzy, and Wiggy will back me up on this, he was surrounded with garbage.
I know.
Except for Edelman.
Okay.
So, like, what did he have
and
to
Edelman,
do?
And Edelman, after the Jets game, was Edelman himself was broken all season long.
It's an unbelievable hot take from Fitzy that you've now gotten behind it 1,000%, right? Fitz, man, the current Patriots roster is definitively better than the one we saw take the field against the Titans
correct.
In the divisional round.
Yes, that is correct.
So dumb. It's just beyond belief. But
no, it's not. It's logical.
Hold on that for a second.
Okay.
And you say there's a GM who is backing you up, an NFL
That's
GM.
Correct.
But first, we have two correspondents from New Hampshire to back up or refute the claim that you are saying that New Hampshire is now closing the border or would like to close the border to massholes headed over there because of a spike in restaurant attendance, which is leading to problems.
Hey, our attitude is We started this country. We'll finish it.
Doug in the truck first up. Hi, Doug.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
All right, Doug.
Good, good. Love the show, first of all, and the Patriots roster has gone downhill, but that's beside the point.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. I was just corresponding with, I'm on 93 North. I just went through the toll literally just now, and I was talking about when I crossed the border from Mass, I'm actually a Masshole, to clarify, Massachusetts plates on my truck, and when I crossed the border, I was seeing maybe 60-40 New Hampshire versus Massachusetts. Now, where are these New Hampshire people coming from, and why are they pissed about us coming across the border when they're coming back from our state? What are they doing down with us?
What did they? Why did they come to Massachusetts, is what you're saying.
Yeah. They're crossing the border just as much as we are.
Can we just all get along?
Nope. Now, this could also just be, like, they could be, I mean, some could be coming for work, some may be visiting friends.
Coming for work? Who's working?
I don't know. You and I are. Gotta be at least... A few other people showing up for work besides the hot take artists, you know, from 1 to 4 on Saturday.
All right. I might be following Greg Hill. I'm not sure what he's doing this weekend, but he might be in front of me. He might be behind me. But I just wanted to say I saw just many New Hampshire people behind me that I was crossing into New Hampshire and following some Mass people. There are a lot of people from Mass coming in, but just as many New Hampshire people coming out. So,
all right. Thank you, Doug.
Great. I'm not sure why is New Hampshire so butthurt about that when they can't...
Well, I'll tell you exactly why, Doug.
Our state too.
I'll tell you exactly why is because we are a hot zone, apparently, or we're still in. Are we in lockdown, Ken? Was it considered?
We're still
quarantine?
Phase one.
We're phase one.
Phase two, June 8th, maybe.
We're the last state to do anything.
Me showing up here is phase three, isn't it?
Yeah.
On the two Joe's phase plan, multi-phase plan, the multi-Joe plan.
Yeah, everyone's afraid that anyone coming from Massachusetts is like, oh, stay away from me. Like, you had the biogen. You had the biogen,
yeah,
that fella.
We had 93,000 cases since this started. I think New Hampshire was like 5,000 or 6,000.
I thought you said 5 or 6
yes,
people.
Yeah, five. Yes.
Yeah, the coronavirus doesn't want anything to do with New Hampshire. That state's so tough.
Well, they do now, apparently. Now this is another New Hampshire guy, Jimmy in Hampton.
Is this your buddy? Jimmy Dunn?
Yes, it is.
Hey, what's up there, guy?
I'll tell you this. The place is overrun with Massholes because somehow people in Massachusetts have interpreted phase one stay at home to mean drive to New Hampshire to get fried dough and an ice cream. That's why.
Including Wiggy.
Absolutely lawless up here. They're driving. You go on the roads, they're either doing 100 miles an hour or they're just doing like 15 miles an hour eating a clam roll in the middle of the street. It's zombie land up here, and every single car has a Massachusetts plate. And here's what the governor's done, though. The governor has decided that we'll close the parking lots, and that'll keep people from coming. So they're just driving up to New Hampshire and then straight through New Hampshire, and I think he's planning on changing the thing on the license plate from live free or die to keep driving. Pal, Maine's open right now.
Jimmy, no, seriously, like, there's a positive to it in that, like, hey, there's commerce happening in New Hampshire, and it's a slow road to recovery. But at the same time, I mean, you've told me before, as you've hit up me and Maddie and the boys, like, that, you know, you can't do anything. You know, it's great to be by the beach, but you're stuck there, and there's nowhere to go and nothing to do. Like, are you happy that at least there's signs of life in New Hampshire now, or does it make you more concerned that we're going to be bringing what's kept us locked up for months up your way?
I just want consistency. I don't care. They have, you know what they opened in New Hampshire? New Hampshire is the only state left that doesn't have the beach open. We have 12 miles of coastline, and it's not open. But the hair salons and the mini golf courses are officially open. So tomorrow, to go to the beach, I'm going to open a hair salon on the beach. Put a little 9-hole mini golf course off the back of it just to get around the loophole.
What a nightmare.
Would you close the border, Jimmy, if you could? If you ran New Hampshire, would you say, shutting the border down, no Massholes allowed?
All you got to do is lift the bridge at Seabrook and just say, I don't know, it broke. You know? That's it. That's all you got to do. You don't have to make a political statement about it. You just have to lift up the bridge and go, guy went through in a lobster boat and I don't know, the winch isn't working. Sorry, go around. And no one's going to go around. They're going to go back to Salisbury. They get some crappy pizza, play a couple games of skee ball, and then they'll go back to their homes in Massachusetts. So I want to put a sign. And here's this is the only thing that I'd like to stop from coming to New Hampshire. Honda Civics with tailpipes that make them sound like F-16s.
What, coming out, like doing the Tokyo, people that either haven't serviced car or doing the Tokyo drift?
Looking, yeah, you're looking out at the ocean going, wow, what is that? That must be an F-16 coming up to Pease Air Force Base. And you turn around and it's a Honda Civic four-door. And I just want to say, go back below. Turn it around and go back below.
Jimmy, you're funnier than Fitzy. Do you want to host 3 days a week on the Greg Hill Show?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
You know what hell working in terrestrial radio is, Jimmy Dunn.
So far, the motivation for Massachusetts people
are... That's why I love you guys. I had a job. I had a job. They already took that away from me.
No. Sorry to hear that.
Hey.
Someday I'll stand on a stage and tell jokes again, but that's going to be a long time from now.
Yeah, I know. The virtual comedy clubs, they're just not happening, right? You haven't done one of those, have you?
No, God, no. There's nothing more insufferable than Zoom comedy right now. It's just the worst. Hey.
Well, radio with Ken Laird is a close second.
Stand-up comedian. Would you like to see me tell jokes on my couch? No, I would not. I really would not. It's only $9. Oh, yeah. I definitely would not.
Hey, you stay safe, brother. Thanks for checking in, buddy.
Yeah, and I miss baseball, too, because it's the only way I could tell my wife, hey, can I do this after the game?
Jim is a great follow on Twitter also. Yeah. He also makes me feel very good on Twitter, liking things for every rant. I mean, in these times, we should be liking more things on Twitter.
Jimmy is the most regular guy in the world. Yes. He's a hard worker. Now, he lived his life so he could buy a house on the beach in New Hampshire. He tells jokes. You know, paints the house and goes surfing.
Also a veteran of the Twin Peaks podcast in Fort Myers.
Oh,
last year.
I didn't know that. Right. Wow.
So far, but off of that, we think that everyone in Massachusetts, their motivation for going to New Hampshire is clam rolls, fried dough, skee ball.
And
let's throw in some Korean and Russian table tennis.
To bet on tennis. Yep.
That's what.
And to which I say, and?
Yeah.
And fireworks.
And Wiggy went there for ice cream. So Wiggy just posted that last night. He bought a run.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I must have missed
Despite
that.
The Awaken 180.
Well, can I just tell you, like, when I hadn't seen Wiggy in a while, he looks great. Like,
he's lost a
he
lot
looks
of
like
weight.
A computer-generated Wiggy.
I know.
He looks completely different.
Don't praise Wiggy while Fitzy's here. It just makes him uncomfortable. Oh, but speaking of that.
You look great as well.
Can you bash this guy for the stupid take about the Patriots roster being better? I mean, just fire away.
Well, you can thank me for surfacing it.
Yeah, yes. Which is, that's the term everyone who's at home right now. if you're listening to us right now for a little sports talk and levity as you watch the country tear itself apart on their television box. Surfacing is when you sort of like grab. It's not aggregating.
No. Here's what I do, Fizzy.
How do you call it?
This is what. So I get in my car and I drive to Ipswich and back. Uh-huh. And in that time, I pluck out three stupid things that people say on the radio. Yeah. And I say, I'm going to make a blog entry out of that.
Perfect. Otherwise, they would disappear in the secrecy of sports radio where you could say anything and not be held accountable. And then it puts it in print.
And I shouldn't say stupid.
You
got
to back it up.
It's like, you know,
it
so like
ad infinitum.
Lou's rant about his minute rant about.
Tom Brady. He doesn't
Brady,
like the
not
Tom
liking
Brady.
The new Tom Brady. All of a sudden, it shows up on the New York Post. Like, why? That's because I was driving to Ipswich, listening in my car. And so when
See,
I was listening,
Bradfoe knows to get the clams local.
Exactly. Come on. I would never try.
But the current roster is not
so.
Better
but
than
I was
last
listening
year.
To this. It was a great show. I enjoyed listening to it, and I thought it was a great take. But then when I did the post, Fitzy, I was like, okay, here are the guys they lost, and here are the guys that they got.
Uh-huh.
It didn't add up.
Right. You may have heard the fuzzy math and thought that makes sense, and then when you looked at the numbers you're like, no, that doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't
So you're
compute.
Admitting that it
No, it, I refuse to. I have said time and time again, Rob Bradford, I have said time and again that I am not embarrassed nor am I ashamed to be the only resident of Bad Take Island. As a matter of fact, I have taken up permanent residence there, and it's quite comfortable this time.
How would
of
you
year.
Dig in on it now? Saying, okay, I guess the math is not quite there.
Yep.
How would you dig in on it?
Dumbo Hart and I had a nice little back and forth on the tweet box about it this week, too, because he subtweeted it and said, you know, hey, listen, a bad take is, you know, something if you own it, but hey, that's fine. I think that with the return of David Andrews, the solidification of the line, the health factor, should it stay in play, adding a fullback that'll be there hopefully for the entire season, the maturity
adding
of the wide
a
receivers.
God. Go ahead. Sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, no. That's adding okay, Ken. What did former New England Patriot and current ESPN analyst Rob Ninkovich say when he joined the Greg Hill Show here on WEEI? That losing James Devlin was the biggest blow to the 2019 Patriots. So if you replace Devlin with 85% of him in the form of a productive Green Bay fullback in a Shanahan-styled offense where he could be used as a Juszczyk-style of offensive weapon, that's fine. But go ahead. Just continue with your fortress of sadness over there hosting the show. How about also the speed on the defense? How about the fact that they have tight ends now, Rob? How about the fact that we'll have a kicker that doesn't need to get an appendectomy
this season? Speed on the defense. You lost Kyle Van Noy, arguably your best defensive player.
Uh-huh. Thank you. And Jamie Collins was a wash. What about Van Noy? You replace Van Noy's productivity.
With Josh Uche.
No, with parts. You have a bunch of different people do what he did. You shift Dante Hightower away from the middle linebacking part. Now he's free to play weak side, strong side as an end as well. You have situational rushing from Uche. Chase Winovich, I don't think he's just a role player as well. Kid had 5.5 sacks last year in limited playing time.
Dante Scarnecchia, you mentioned the line.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they have the two guys, Popovich and the other guys.
Yeah, we saw how that worked out.
Yeah, the other guy.
That was with Googe, man. A, they won a Super Bowl, and then B, he went to crap in 2015. But a lot of that was based on Brian Stork's terrible play and their poor health. If they're healthy, this is a rounder, more complete roster.
Now, what about Tom Brady?
Never heard of him.
They lose Brady and Scarnecchia, the two guys that you just
Scarnecchia is a coach, not a player.
Oh, now he's just a coach. It's unbelievable.
The safety position is also better, too. You got rid of Daron Harmon, and you replaced him with Adrian Phillips and Kyle Duggar. And also, they're taking Joanne Williams.
Jail.
Out of the pocket of Percocet. He's out of Big Pharma. More importantly, they're taking a guy like Joanne Williams because they realize the hybrid cornerback safety linebacker position is the way that defense is going in the NFL.
So I would say there's two points that you haven't even mentioned, which I think are stronger points than the ones that you're grasping.
Than the productive Green Bay fullback? It's amazing.
One of the unknown stars of the Madden football game, mm-hmm. which you expertly announced with Wiggy, mm-hmm. Asiasi.
That's right. I said the tight end position.
That
was a black hole last year.
Yes. And so that he dominant in that mm-hmm. game, and honestly, like for Stidham, and it goes to what Ryan Hannibal said the other day, which is I do feel like that N'Keal Harry, who by the way, get ready for this post coming on Monday morning from Christian Fourier,
sizzling
1,000-yard receiver. He said,
"Really?
Yes." Christian Fourier said that yesterday at about 5:40 because I marked it. That he said N'Keal Harry is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver, and the whole point is what Ryan wrote about, which is he's going to be better because Brady isn't here anymore. Instead of Miss,
I thought they're going to run the ball more. They're not even going to throw it. They are going to run the ball more.
But his point was look at what Josh Gordon was. Very simple routes. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to think a whole lot. You didn't have the quarterback think a whole lot. That's what N'Keal Harry is going to be.
All right, now here's Mike Tannenbaum, who Fitzy has always, for years, he has said, I believe in Mike Tannenbaum. He is my expert of experts. This is the guy I get behind. He somewhat gave Fitzy support on OMF yesterday.
They have a really good offensive line. Isaiah Wynn is a really athletic left tackle. They tagged Thuney, which I thought they would have. That was a no-brainer to me. If Andrews comes back, he's a tough, durable, smart center. That's a really good starting five. And when you look at their offense, there was a guy that I really like, Asiasi, the tight end from UCLA, who was a transfer. I think he's really athletic if he could stay healthy and stay on the field. I could have been wrong on Harry because I really liked him a year ago. I thought when he came out, he really reminded me of Anquan Boldin in terms of the tough, physical, contested catches, and hopefully he'll continue to get better. And look, Edelman and Sanu are obviously the wrong side of 30, but they're both competitive veteran guys. So, again, when you match them up, I'm not saying it's a perfect roster, guys, but when you match it up within the division, I could see 9, 10, 11 wins on this team.
Mm-hmm. And Christian Fourier said on the way in, he said one of our guys here, Fitz, he said they have a better roster in 2020 than 2019. And he begins by saying that he actually agrees with that and then goes on to provide his assessment as to why. Mm-hmm.
How dumb is Fitzy, 617-779-7937?
Great question.
Calling the current roster better than last year's?
You can surface that, Brad.
Maybe you agree.
Former NFL GM agrees with Fitzy's flame take.
Oh, believe me, it's being surfaced.
Thank you, Rob. And we want more calls from New Hampshire. New Hampshireites? How do you?
Yes. New Hampshireonians.
Okay. About Massel's
Hampshireingtons.
Yes.
Is Sununu? How about Sununu calling in again
today?
Is he gonna say like the Red Sox are gonna play in New Hampshire
right,
now?
Yeah. I mean, what's a baseball tournament's in Manchester?
Can you get him when he comes on Monday? Because he
Monday,
will absolutely be on Monday, right?
He's part
can
of the
you get
of
him,
trust.
Please, for the website's sake, to say something like the NBA is now looking at Manchester as a logical landing spot?
He calls New Hampshire a purple state. Because it's a lot of red and a lot of blue.
There you go.
All right, Rob.
Thank you. Thanks you guys. Thank you for letting me procrastinate my run.
Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah.
Welcome back
I feel good. Airwaves. I don't feel sick yet. It's good.
Coming up, we'll take more of your phone calls on this, the Fitzy dumbness, and we'll circle back on, of course, the big story of the day, which is just unrest, civil unrest across the United States of America, and what could be another rough night tonight, to be sure. It's Kenneth Fitzy.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
And I will say, Stidham will defer to N'Keal Harry. Because I look at N'Keal Harry, he'll never be a great route runner. I don't see him in that kind of mold. You know, Mike Tannenbaum compared him to Anquan Boldum. Just a big, physical guy. I think of Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant and Tony Romo, that matchup, Dez Bryant lived on the edge. Tony Romo would just throw it up there, and he would go get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just so physically gifted. He could jump out of the stadium. He had real strong hands, and he was really good after the catch. I'll say this, and I'm glad I'm the first one to say it.
Uh-oh.
I think that N'Keal Harry has the ability this year to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
Well, that is another hot take to top your hot. I don't think it tops yours. Yours is dumber. That's a bold one there. N'Keal Harry going to top 1,000 yards. Now, how many catches is you typically would think that's a 100 catch season as well?
I think that because he's like a 15 yard per reception guy.
Not
I think that's the whole
year.
Idea. No,
last year he had 12 catches in 6 games for 100 yards. So he's a 9 yard per catch guy last year.
Yeah, eight, not even 8.5.
Yeah, a couple rushing attempts too.
That'd be about 65, 70, I would say.
70 catches for N'Keal Harry.
65 would be great. That's 4 catches a game over a 16-game calendar.
So what does Edelman have then in that scenario?
I have Edelman under, at around 80.
You cannot throw
the ball to Julian Edelman 153 times again. You cannot. You will get that man broke. You will bust the Edelmania if you throw him the ball 100. Tom Brady threw him the ball out of necessity and habit and frustration more than anyone else last year. Now, if you have a full season of N'Keal Harry, if you have a tight end or two, God forbid, you trust or who show some athletic promise and potential, if you have a more successful running game and maybe a third threat at the receiver position emerges, you diversify the portfolio. You spread the ball around. Now, who do you think that third one would be? I don't think it's going to be Sanu. Do you think it would be?
You don't? Well, who's it going to be? Marquise Lee or who's the guy that
Bird?
Picked up? Demir Byrd?
Could it be Will Hastings, his slot receiver from Auburn, who he's got a connection with?
I think your best hope is Asiasi, to be honest. He needs he is the key to your season developing into a 10-6 year, which I think it could. I think it could. You know, I don't think that's crazy.
So good.
But they were 12-4. You underestimate Brady's brilliance in getting them to 12-4 last year. They had an 8-0 start. They beat the Bills twice. The savvy of Brady in those low-scoring games to be able to squeak a win out of in a 10-6, 16-10 time. He would come up with a key play here or there,
key
a key
reads,
throwaway,
I know,
a key read of how bad the line was. You're looking at it, and you're missing the big picture of just Brady's continuity and seamlessness.
I lived for Tom Brady's big picture. The audibles,
anymore.
The play
you're,
reads, the calls.
Just,
yes, no, I did. I mean, like, for God's sakes, I don't have to keep, resurfacing my Brady bona fides every Saturday on the show or 3 times a week only to have Curtis behind me. For God's sakes, how much more do I have to profess my love for Tom Brady? Jesus.
Well, anything now would be a start.
Well, you know what? Oh, I just paid the $300. We're changing my oldest son's name now.
But now, if you're saying the roster's better,
I believe
you think
the
they're
going
to go 10-6. They were 12-4. So
Tougher schedule, growing pains. It is a more complete roster, Ken, if they're healthy. Yeah, and I know that's one of the biggest. I know. If, as Joe Namath so famously said, if, such a big word for only 2 letters. I get it. If butts, candies, and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. If the Patriots are healthy, they have addressed, by and large, Belichick showed faith, and this could be to his folly and peril, in these wide receivers, but he addressed every other position of need on the team in this offseason and with their salary cap limitations and the draft. They have tried to get faster and younger or better at every position. They already had one. They have one they like.
Chris in Worcester on Ken and Fitzy. Hi, Chris.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you. Beautiful afternoon today. Thanks for taking the call.
Yes, it is. Please enjoy the sunshine since I'm in here in the dungeon of sorrow with Ken.
No, I'm just sitting here looking at a lake. I live in Worcester, and I'm a taxpayer and a homeowner. And when they said they were bringing the WooSock to Worcester, you know, taxes would go up. They did. But my point being is, God, what if there's no minor league? My point is, it's no minor league next year if they just can't. I hope we got to get through this pandemic. I'm going bonkers, too. Thankfully, I'm still employed. I work at a Boston in a hospital in Boston. Mm-hmm. So, but it's just, I'm a little nervous about this WooSock thing. That was one. That was just my kind of take. And it was just a question I had because I was thinking about it because I was watching the Rams game, Rams-Pats Super Bowl on NFL Network, and I watched that game, and I thought about the year after, and I asked your screen caller, why did the Pats, what happened to the Pats not making the playoffs the next year? Wasn't the Lawyer Malloy year where they hate his coach? But do you guys remember, why did they crap their pants that next year?
2002?
What happened that year?
In 2002... Tom Brady did lead the league in touchdown passes, but he threw a lot of picks. They had a really tough schedule. They lost four games in a row at one point. It was really the sophomore slump. It was kind of a hangover season for the team on the whole. They needed to get better at a couple of positions. The wide receivers, don't forget, weren't that great in the first place when they went on their magical run. Same with the tight end position. They got so much better the next year with Deion Branch and David Givens. The defense broke down a little bit as well. So it was just kind of, you know, they still had, had the Jets lost to the Packers in the 4 o'clock game after they pulled off the big win in the final game of the season against Miami. Yeah, they still would have made the playoffs at 9-7. So they were close. It was one of only two times that they didn't win the AFC East with Tom Brady, during that time. But yeah, it was more of a Super Bowl hangover season. I blame Tara Reid because that's who Brady was dating.
Quick question. Is that probably why Belichick jettisoned Malloy?
Malloy called into the show a little while ago. Yeah, he was getting paid too much money. They blamed the back end of the defense a little much because he had a lot of contractual battles with Ty Law as well. But they told him to take a pay cut or he was Dunsky. And he didn't want to take the pay cut after the season. So they cut him loose.
No 1,000-yard receivers that year. Troy Brown had 890. David Patton, 824. Big drop off to Deion Branch after that.
Yep.
So not much in the passing game that year, 2000.
No, and they had Donald Lee from Carolina as well. That's the year also, too, they opened up. It was the first year of Gillette Stadium, too.
Wayne in South Boston next on Ken and Fitzy. Hello, Wayne.
What's up, buddy? What's going on, Fitzy, Pat?
There he is. What's up, Wayne, you son of a bitch? How you doing today, buddy?
I'm getting ready to play a little football in a little while down at the stadium with my boys.
There you go. Enjoy that sunshine.
Yeah, as long as last time I played, I had a 350-pound guy come smashing into me. I didn't even see him coming, dude. He almost killed me.
Now you know what it feels like any given Sunday for the pros, huh?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, people don't realize playing football is a rough sport, baby. It's not easy. But, hey, with this line, I've been just saying to you, I said 10-6, remember?
Mm-hmm.
When I first started, I'm telling you, I think I see this, like you just said, I think they got better in a lot of spots, especially in the defense. Especially in the defense, Fitz.
But Wayne, the whole roster is not better than the one with Brady and Dante Scarnecchia. You would agree with that?
Oh, of course not. Yeah. Well, what do we want? Brady. Well, Brady was, like I said, we're getting over the Brady hangover. You know what I mean? We're still here with the Brady hangover.
Right.
We got to see what he's going to do in Tampa. You know what I mean? He thinks he's going to. I don't think he's going to have as great a season as he thinks he's going to have. Because, like my buddy was saying, he doesn't move in that pocket as well as he used to do. You know what I mean? I know he knows how to get rid of the ball, but if they cover up his receivers, what's Brady going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and whereas Jarrett Stidham, you know, listen, Jarrett Stidham obviously can move.
I got my Stidham shirt finally.
You did? Wait, hold on, Wayne. Did you get a home or away Stidham?
What do you mean?
Like, did you get a blue or a white? Yeah, the jersey.
Yeah, home.
Nice. There you go. See, that's what being a Pats fan is all about, Ken. You can love Tom Brady for decades, but you can be a diehard like my boy Wayne here,
but
and you can
reasonable.
Still support.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
And I, you know that. I told you. I've been watching the Patriots for long. Like I said, I had 20 years of the worst team ever. You know, I got laughed at growing up in Celtics. Everybody was wearing their Dallas Cowboy jackets, and here I am wearing my Patriot jacket because I was a real fan, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then I got another 20 years where we were the greatest ever, and I kept telling people, you watch, one day the Patriots are going to be great, and everybody laughed at me. Well, the bar that I used to go to, and when they did win that first Super Bowl, you know, I went in there and went crazy and laughed at everybody, pointed my finger in their face. I said, I told you we were going to win. You all laughed at me. So, like I said, I had 20 years where they were horrible, and I got 20 years where they were great. So it balanced out, you know what I mean? Now we're in a new era. And let's see what we can do. I told you, I like it. It's Stidham.
You're a great kid. Listen, you've watched a lot of football. You've probably forgotten more football today than Ken Laird's ever known in his lifetime, and I appreciate that about you. But do you see, at least from my perspective, why I would say that I think this is and can be a better roster?
No, he said no already.
He said no, but do you see why I say that? Because they're getting younger. They could potentially be faster. They could be better.
That's what I just said.
Yes, they see.
They got better in all fronts. You know what I mean? Remember when I told you when the draft was out and I said to you, this kid Asiasi, I think the Patriots are going to grab because he's really a beast. And they grabbed him. They got him. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, Belichick did everything he needed to do to build that roster back up. You know what I mean? He lost Brady, but he built that roster. He had to do it. You know what I mean? Because you're not going to pay Brady $50 million and then we have nothing else. What's Brady going to do like he did in the last season? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Get to the playoffs and then boom, crash again. We don't want to see that no more. We don't want to see that. We want to move on. We have to move on. It's just the way life works.
Wayne, listen, if they open those bars up again, it'll be you and I barging into all of them next January, laughing at everyone saying, see, Fitzy and Wayne told you so.
He flip-flopped like Ordway there. First he said, no, the roster's not better. Then he says he understands how you can see it.
Oh, and Ken, by the way, is wearing a UCLA jersey in here today.
That's my Josh Lewin freebie.
Asi. That's your Josh Lewin freebie. Nice.
How about George? When we come back, we'll take George. Do you think, how do you like his suggestion on line four?
I
think that would
be. Oh,
actually. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was a sincere suggestion.
I believe it. I totally believe it.
All right. And
it's
we are T-minus 10 minutes away from the Apollo 16 launch, the future of the U.S. space program with the Dragon rocket about to take off from Cape Canaveral. A huge moment for America on a day of divisiveness, Ken. And I'm not just talking about the fact that people are split over our Patriots roster.
Are we going to take this live? Is there like play-by-play of the SpaceX launch that you could go to?
Historic moment? I don't know if we can. The only way you can get like the real, actually like 10, 9.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I want.
On YouTube, I think.
All right. Fine. Crush my hopes. Back in 60 seconds for George's hot take on line 4.